and Lifestyles programming. This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Pickard.
And good day, and discussing today on Travel World with our good friend, our chief correspondent, Canada's Centennial Anchorman, Vic Phillips, joining us on the line. Good day, Vic.
Hi there, Stephen, and hi there, Willem, two of my favorite people in the entire world.
Well, that's quite something.
Oh, we're very honored.
Now, we've been traveling a lot, and Stephen, I'm sure you and Willem have both been on the road a fair bit.
Oh, a great deal.
Yeah, and back on the road on Monday, too, so.
Now, you know, there are a lot of exotic trips out there, Stephen. I was going to mention to you, we're all members of the Travel Media Association of Canada, and we have a big trip coming up next March to one of the most beautiful cities in the world, apparently. I've never been there, Cardiff, Wales.
And you'll be going there, and I'm looking forward to hearing your report on that next year.
Yeah, and then I'll be taking some side trips into Glasgow and Edinburgh and London, England, through the Lake District. So a lot to look forward to. But just recently, I traveled to another one of my favorite areas of North America, the Niagara Falls, Ontario, and Buffalo, New York areas.
Right, close together and a great getaway destination for extended weekends for really anyone in the Northeast.
Correct. The Niagara Falls, the Buffalo area, is only an hour and a half drive from Toronto. Customs is a breeze to go through. And while in Niagara Falls, I stayed at the Sterling Inn and Spa. And they bill themselves as Niagara Falls' only boutique hotel. It's a brand new hotel, and it's really unusual. Their rooms all feature a king-size dreams bed, what they call a dreams bed, a fireplace, a wet bar. I got into that pretty good. refrigerator, extra-large bathroom. And, you know, for those who need a little help to wash away the stresses of everyday life, they're roomy shower has a rain shower head and body jets. I've never experienced that before.
Is
it's
that like
directly over your head.
And there's jets from the from the sides that get you too?
It comes down directly on you. And you
so it's one rain style.
Yeah, you can dial the pressure, the heat. And
wow.
You know how we all have problems in showers in some hotels.
Sure.
Oh, trying to move around in them where they're too dark and dingy or you slip and fall. Yeah.
That's right. And each room also has a two-person jacuzzi. And your shower becomes a personal steam room, too. It's
Oh, nice.
Totally locked in. And that's it's just a wonderful hotel, the Sterling Hotel. Now, their cuisine, Stephen, I know you've been through almost every part of the world, but I don't think you've ever experienced the cuisine of the Sterling Hotel. They say that they're inspired by the growers and producers of Niagara. And their menu truly does utilize regional and seasonal ingredients, and their chef is unbelievably inventive. All the products are apparently grown in the Niagara region. It's seasonal, the vegetables, the fruit, and now, of course, it's apple and pumpkin season, so they have all that. But their livestock, if you want beef or pork, it's all from that area.
Oh, yummy.
So I'd strongly recommend a visit to the Sterling Inn, even just if you're not going to stay there. Just pop in, and it's totally different. Now, Stephen, when was the last time you were in Niagara?
Oh, many, many years ago. It was a trip actually sponsored by Ontario Tourism during your days with the Ontario government.
Oh, true. It's totally different now. You know, they still have that area with the House of Wax and all these kind of not sleazy museums, but they're not awe-inspiring. But Niagara,
great for children, though. Children love them.
Oh, children love those things, and that's what it's all about. But for us old guys, there are all kinds of areas now in Niagara Falls. For instance, there's an area called the Falls Avenue and a huge entertainment complex there, and great culinary choices in that avenue, like the usual Rainforest Cafe, Planet Hollywood, Hard Rock Cafe. And I had the ultimate in Falls View dining at the Falls View Restaurant and the Falls View Rainbow Room Restaurant. great dining there, overlooking the falls. I'm not big on heights, and this overlooks the falls, but it didn't bother me one bit. But if I go outside and stand at the falls, I find it a little scary.
You're right at the edge there in the railing. I think years ago on that media trip, we went to the Skylon Tower, and that you have to kind of hold your stomach going up in the elevator.
Oh, totally, totally. And, of course, one of the highlights of visiting the Niagara area are the wineries. And I know you're a bit of a wine connoisseur.
I will have a glass occasionally if it's the right vintage and the right varietal of grapes.
Yeah. Well, I took all kinds of tours while I was there for 3 days, and I went to the Peller Estates Winery, and then I toured the Kurtz Alpine Nurseries. I went to the Southbrook Winery, the Royal de Maria Winery. They're famous for their ice wine there.
Oh, ice wine, beautiful. That's really, really tasty.
Yeah, and they mentioned to me that in Japan, they purchase 70% of all ice wine produced in the Niagara region, which leaves us a small amount. The Japanese just love it. And the Americans get a huge portion of the ice wine, and the Canadians get the rest. Now, the Royal de Maria Winery won their Prix d'Honneur, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it was in France, their first prize for their tasting sessions there. And it was just unbelievable. And, of course, ice wine is kind of expensive for those who are on a limited budget. The Niagara area makes all kinds of reds and whites. And it's a great visit for a two-day period. If you love wine, you love sightseeing. And, of course, you've got the Niagara Falls to take a look at, too, which I think is much nicer on the Canadian side.
Oh, very much so. And Niagara Falls, Ontario, compared to Niagara Falls, New York, it's like night and day. I really, really want to explore on the Canadian side, and you get a great view of the American side as well from the Canadian side.
True. Now, after leaving Niagara Falls, you pass through customs, which takes like 60 seconds, and you're into the New York area, northern New York State, and then I visited one of my favorite cities, Buffalo, which I know you've visited a few times.
Yep, years ago as well, and Buffalo is one of those overshadowed cities that people say, why would you go to Buffalo? Later today, we're going to be talking about Flint, Michigan, and again, one of those hidden gems that people really have to get out and explore, you're not really overcrowded, you don't have all those people, you're not like in a mob because you're one of the people discovering one of these cities for the first time.
That's right, and the Canadian and American dollars are almost at par now, so it's a great place to visit. A lot of sights. Now, one of the stops I always make is the Walden Galleria for some shopping. As you know, in Canada, there's a 13% sales tax. In New York State, I think it's only about 7%. So right off the top, you're saving a lot of money. And while there, I always go to the Anchor Bar for where the buffalo wings were invented. Have you experienced them?
I've had buffalo chicken wings. And have you? How many in a sitting have you downed at one time?
Well, I was hungry. I had 25 wings and a few pints of their great beer.
Now that's an evening out.
Oh, well, that was lunch. We went back for dinner. Now there's a lot to see in Buffalo. The Frank Lloyd Wright houses, there are homes all over the area.
He built a number of his houses in Buffalo, as he did in the greater Pittsburgh area. And so Buffalo, for those going to Niagara Falls nearby, they can experience that for themselves as well.
Yeah. Now, I know when we were in the Phoenix, we saw the Frank Lloyd Wright properties. And, you know, they're all over the U.S., but I think Buffalo probably has more. I understand there are 6 or 7 of them. Now, for those who don't know, Buffalo's not a huge city. It's the second most populous city in New York State, just over 250,000 people, maybe 300,000. And they've been hit hard by the recession, and so they're really trying hard to attract tourists, and they're doing a great job. Buffalo's right on Lake Erie. In the winter, I visited it all times of the year, and I'll tell you, in the winter, there you're going to drive through a lot of snow in some days.
It is in that snow belt, but they do a good job of clearing it up. They don't have to bog themselves down for too long.
No. And, you know, Buffalo has a large Italian population, so you have a lot of Italian restaurants and large Polish populations. And so, you know, there's all types of food there. And, of course, you have your standard Tex-Mex and places like that. But besides eating out, art galleries. There are 50 private and public art galleries in Buffalo. And my favorite's the Albright Knox Art Gallery. Have you been to that one?
I have not. It's going to be on my agenda, my itinerary for my next visit to Buffalo. Stay with us, Vic. We're going to continue with Buffalo and more of your American road trip adventures when we return across America on the Travel World Radio Network, distributed by NASCOR International. Stay listening.
Via satellite, this is the Travel World Radio Show featuring Vic Phillips and his road trips from Ontario. Stay listening. Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
Vacation time can mean a heart-rending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers the...
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. I'm here with Vic Phillips, Willem Backus, and Stephen Vickford.
Yes, in conversation with Vic Phillips, talking about art and culture in Buffalo, New York, and then hitting the road after to explore more of America. Tell us more, Vic.
Oh, all over the place. Before we leave Buffalo, I have to tell you that they have some great live theater. And I visited the Shays Performing Arts Center, which is an old-style large theater. And they have some great plays on there. And if you're a sports buff, they have the Bills, the football team. They're doing okay this year in the NFL. And, of course, the Buffalo Sabres hockey team. And I don't know what's more popular, football or hockey or even baseball, which attracts a large minor league crowd to their
good
to their
AAA
games.
Team. Yeah, AAA baseball.
Yeah, AAA baseball, which is fantastic baseball. I like it better than Major League in some ways because they're all trying hard to make the big leagues.
A lot of effort out there. Now, you, after Buffalo, hit the road and explored some other points in the en route to the Midwest.
Yeah, I continued my travels. I took side trips all over the place, but my main destination to get to was Colon, Michigan. And so on the way to Colon, Michigan, I went way out of line, and I traveled into Michigan. I came back to Canada and went through Sarnia, Ontario, and went through Port Huron, Michigan. Have you been through that area?
I took the highway once. The Sarnia, Port Huron goes through Lapeer.
That's right. And then I visited one of the first places I stopped in briefly, and it's really changed in the last while, is Flint, Michigan, a city I know you've spent a fair amount of time in.
Yes, I was just recently there, and we'll be talking with Jerry Preston, the president of the Flint Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, about all the revitalization efforts taking place in Flint and the surrounding area.
That's right, and of course, we all know Flint sort of became notorious or famous. It's the birthplace of General Motors, and Michael Moore did his film Roger and Me in that area.
Yeah, and it really gave it a bad shake, and people are having to live down that for years to come. But as I will be talking with Jerry, it's a city with a lot of spirit, people who are working hard and really want to go out of their way to make you feel welcome.
It is I know that you and Jerry will be mentioning their huge jazz festival, car shows, and they had a crime problem in the 80s and 90s, but I gather that crime has just been cut to ribbons, and the city's on its way up now.
Totally. I got a really great feeling, a great vibe from the city. And I really enjoyed my time there. I'd go back tomorrow.
Now, I passed through Flint, and I went on to Lansing, and I didn't spend much time there because I was in a bit of a hurry. Have you visited that area along the route to Lansing?
No, haven't done that. There's a good great rail trip you can do through Central Michigan that just celebrated 30 years on the rails this past week. So would love to take the train. They have a train that goes over to Chicago. Takes around 6 hours.
And then I headed south to my destination of Colon, Michigan, and it's spelled like the colon in your body, C-O-L-O-N, but it's famous as the magic capital of America. And that's where the famous magician Harry Blackstone Sr. lived, and he was buried in Colon. And there's a graveyard in the town where a lot of magicians are buried. It's a magical graveyard. And he was one of the world's great illusionists, and he and Houdini apparently hung out together. The city's only about, the town, it's about 1,200 people. But when us magicians, I'm a member of the Magician Society of North America, when we arrive in Colon, we increase the population from 1,200 to about 4,000 every summer, every first week of August. And we walk up and down the streets doing magic for people. We attract all kinds of people. We put on shows. And, of course, we have dealers who arrive from all over the United States to show us the latest effects. And one of the largest dealers is in Colon, Michigan. It's Abbott's Magic Factory. And they started that factory, I think it was in the 1930s. And so people buy their products from everywhere. Now, if you've never heard of Colon, I'll tell you, it's near Sturgis. Now, if you've never heard of that, it's near White Pigeon or Fawn River.
Sturgis is well
known. Most people have never heard of, but take a look at it on the map, Colon, Michigan. Now, Stephen, I know you're a magic buff.
I like watching the trips that you you like to show us off on various trips. I still can't figure out how you do them, so that is the magic of watching a magician.
And are you famous? Now, Vic, yourself, are you mostly into close-up magic or stage magic?
I used to do stage magic, but now it's strictly close-up, and I only have a couple of corporate clients I do it for, a bank and a car company, and then I do a lot of it for friends, and I like to entertain children. Group of us every year go to the hospitals around this area with the hospital's permission, and we entertain the children at Christmas.
I still love that sugar cube trick.
We don't charge for that, and it's a tremendous feeling of satisfaction that we get doing that type of thing.
Put smiles on everybody's faces, so. Vic, this festival in Colon, is it at the same time every year in August?
It's always in August, and I've been going to it for a long, long time, and because of that, we've made a lot of friends there, and people arrive there from all over Canada, the U.S., Europe, and we all know each other. And we're busy there for a whole week just wandering around this small town. There are no hotels in the town, so we have to be billeted. I stay with an American Army officer at his home, and we've become friends. And people are either billeted or they stay in their trailers. They rent trailers. And I'm talking like big-time magicians go there, like David Copperfield's been there, and Siegfried and Roy, I believe, in the past visited our convention. These are big names, but most of us are just average guys, and alcohol's not a problem when we're there. The magicians are more into magic. In fact, I don't know of any place there that serves alcohol except the American Legion. There's a little Legion building there, and we all go there at night, about 11 o'clock after a magic show. We wander into the Legion, and the place is just packed with local residents to want to see what we're up to, and we do close-up tricks for them with coins and cards. Fire eaters are outside, people with their pigeons and birds, and it's just unbelievable. This goes on half the night. It's a wonderful place to visit.
I mean, people can visit if they're not a magician. They can just come, and there's like open shows or other things that they can partake in?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. We have stage shows every night, and they can buy tickets to that. That's open to the public, and a very reasonable price. But there's also a lot of other things to do in that area. It has a large Amish community. And you see the vehicles, the horse-pulled wagons all over the place. If you're lucky, you can get an invite to an Amish farm and have a real Amish-style dinner or lunch. I haven't been lucky enough to get invited to one yet, but I'm still waiting. But I think it's a fantastic location, Colon, Michigan. I go there every year, and it's one of my favorite places in America. And then I jumped in my car, and I went through Chicago. Now, Chicago we could talk about all day, but then I wandered along and took my time driving, and I ended up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Oh. Stephen, you were there, what, a couple of years ago?
A few years ago, we did a show from Milwaukee, and still have memories of that, some funny things that happened, and that's the people you meet on a trip, which stand out as the number one memory.
Oh, Now, Milwaukee, I have a lot of relatives there, and when I was a teenager, I would spend part of my summers in that city. It's just some boring statistics. It's the 23rd largest city in the U.S., about 700,000 people, and it's famous for its beer. And that's because partly because they have a large German and Polish population. Many are beer drinkers and connoisseurs of beer. It's the second coldest city in the U.S. in the winter. I don't know if you knew that. The coldest, apparently, is Minneapolis, another city you and I were at.
Oh, yes, we'd be there, too, and we arrived there during a snowstorm.
Ice storm. Well, it was frightening. But I spent a few days in Milwaukee. I visited with relatives and friends, and I just had a great time. They have a huge Oktoberfest there celebrating their German heritage, and I toured some of their museums in Milwaukee. They have a Holocaust museum, a flight museum, and if you're into motorbikes, they have a Harley-Davidson museum.
Yes, we covered that on Travel World.
Opened just a little over a year ago.
Wow. So we're duplicating our stories on Milwaukee.
Oh, we love Milwaukee. We love the whole region.
The whole region has so much to offer, and that just goes to say, hit the road, visit, and there's so many friendly people out there that just want to really welcome you into their communities. Well, you know, once again, Vic Phillips, you've like enlightened us. You've given us that urge to hit the road, to travel, to experience things, and to meet the people, as we always say here on Travel World. So love it as always. Vic Phillips, thank you for joining us today on Travel World.
And goodbye to two of my favorite pals in the entire world, Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford. Happy traveling, boys.
Oh, we will, and happy traveling to you too, Vic. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Travel World across America via satellite. That was Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, and Vic Phillips.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening. Travel World Radio via satellite.